Great, do you want to grab your Bibles? We're only reading two verses, so you don't need to. If you have to, and all the other verses will come up on the screen as normal. But do grab one if you want to follow along. Exodus 20, and as always, I'll read the first two verses just to put it into context. Exodus 20. So we've got, this is the second last one. We've got one more of these Ten Commandments series, and then we're going to go dive back into Acts, which is very timely. As I said in my email, Acts really is the outworking of God's church on the basis of everything that Jesus has done, everything that Jesus has made a new community. But the obligations and the desire to live in that community is exactly the same as it was for the Israelites. So let me read from Exodus verses 1 and 2, and then we're looking at 16 today. Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Let me pray and we'll have a look at this. Lord, we do thank you that indeed you are truth, Lord. And we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to your truth, Lord. Not only that, Lord, would you convict us to live in that truth as well. Amen. So, do not bear, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not lie, yes. Pretty obvious. I think we'd all agree with that and stand by that. Not a problem. We don't want to do that. We can't build God's society on lies. We can't love our neighbours through lies. But as always with these commandments, there's much more in this. There's a much deeper meaning behind this. Don't give false witness, false testimony. Don't lie to your neighbour in a way that actually causes them harm. Not in terms of feelings, not interested in feelings, but lie to your neighbour in a way that causes them harm. But even more still, as God's people, there's more in this. Because as Christians, we're God's ambassadors, members of his family. And therefore, we have an obligation to live in truth. An obligation to live in truth as God's people. And if that's the case, our obligations start before that. We have an obligation to discover truth. How can you be sure you're not giving false witness against your neighbour, passing on lies, unless you've discovered truth in the first place? Why? Because as God's people, we're salt and light in the earth. Salt and light. We're there to preserve God's character. In the way we live, following his commandments, we're light. We're meant to shine his character, his truth, into a dark world. That's what we've been called to do. The whole time remembering, we don't belong to this world. If we don't belong to this world, then we can't behave as the world does. This Jesus talking about his disciples. They are not of the world. We are not of the world. Just as he is not of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of it. We don't behave like it. We don't think like the world does. We're called to live in light, in truth. For once you were full of darkness. No hope, no knowledge, no understanding of truth. But now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. This is the important thing. And why is that important for God's people? Because he hates lies. God hates lies. The Lord detests lying lips. But he delights in men who are truthful. That's how you know who belongs to God and who belongs to the world. Because they live by lies. God cannot lie. So the saying, the apple never falls far from the tree, if we belong to God, then we shouldn't be lying either. The hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. But the devil is the father of lies. That's who the world wants to follow. You are of your father the devil. This is when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's how the world operates, but we don't want to. But we're not sticking ourselves away in a bunker. We're called to be salt and light. We need to bring that truth into the world. And it always starts with the Bible. Must have a biblical worldview. You must, the way you look at the world must be through the lens of the Bible. Because there is no other worldview. There's no other way of looking at the world and discovering truth or living in truth. Yet so often, we think that doesn't matter. If I said to you, I'm going to go and work in a school, but I don't actually believe in education, well then you wouldn't take me seriously, would you? But if I said, I'm going to go and join the police force, but I don't actually believe in law and order, you wouldn't take me seriously, would you? Why is it then when we listen to people say, let me tell you how the world began, but I don't believe in God. Why is it we don't find that folly? Without a biblical worldview, you are misguided. There's no other source of truth other than the Bible. That's the framework by which we hold everything up to measure it. All scripture is God-breathed. God breathes is such a deep word. Deep word, this is God's breathing. It's divinely imputed into someone. All scriptures, God breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's got to be the frame of reference all the time. That's where we start. And why is that so important? Because we need to remember that man's heart is corrupt. Man's heart is corrupt. Our hearts are still corrupt in a way. We were completely corrupt before Jesus saved us. But man, on their own, is not capable of pure truth. Man, outside the grace of God, is not acquainted with pure truth. Because out of the heart come all sorts of things. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? It's so important to see what Jeremiah is saying. He's saying your hearts are corrupt. And because they're so corrupt, you don't even realize they're corrupt. The hearts of men, moreover, are full of evil. And there's madness in their hearts while they live. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Even when people think they're doing something right or good, outside of God's grace, outside of that relationship with Jesus, it's just considered filthy rags. There's no such thing as a good deed outside of Christ. All of our good deeds are as filthy rags. Because if you don't know Christ, you don't know how to give him glory. So every good deed is for yourself, for your own gain. It doesn't mean that man is incapable of truth, but it's never the final word. It's never pure truth. Let me show you some examples. The news is a big way. To live as Christians, the obligation to discover truth means we need to get good at spotting when truth isn't there or when it's cloaked in lies. So the news, this is a great, I mean, I could spend all day on the BBC, but look, So COVID cases, this is the headline. COVID cases was back in July, continue to rise. Scary, a big problem here. Yeah, they've gone up, the figures have gone up, it's the world is ending. But if you keep reading, other more recent figures hint cases may be on the way down. So why put the headline, COVID cases are rising, when they're not? Because they're not interested in truth. It's just a story. This one makes me laugh. Not so despicable. China changes ending of Minions movie. This is the headline. Chinese censors change the ending of Minions movie. Oh, China are censoring things. How dreadful. On the next page, NHS to close Tavistock Giles Chender Identity Clinic. Okay, that was an awful story. We know about that. So maybe the BBC are going to look into that. What was the reason that the BBC said that it was closing? Because of long waiting times. So when the Chinese censor stories, that's bad, but the BBC have got a free rein to do that. Here's one that you think, well, okay, this sounds good. The BBC are promoting prayer. Michelle O'Neill says she was prayed for when pregnant at school. Great. This just sounds like a good story. We'll find some truth in this. 16-year-old girl came pregnant. It was frowned upon, okay. And they're saying the school wouldn't have been the most supportive at that time. Well, why not? Why didn't they think the school was supportive? When asked by Mark Carruthers if she felt the church had played a part in the school's approach, Ms. O'Neill said someone in the school had prayed over her. Okay, right. Well, it was actually when I just got pregnant, it was nearly like, you know, that I had sinned and therefore I must be prayed upon, which obviously was not the right approach. How awful. Can you imagine doing anything so mean as to pray for someone's well-being? And here we go. Giorgia Meloni, Italy's far-right, wins election and vows to govern. Oh, far-right. Doesn't that sound frightening? Italy are in turmoil. What are they going to do? Far-right. What does she stand for? Earlier this year, she outlined her priorities in a raucous speech to Spain's far-right. Oh, dear. Yes to the natural family. No to the LGBT lobby. Yes to sexual identity. No to gender ideology. No to Islamist violence. How dreadful. How dreadful to have solid Christian values. And what's her actual catchphrase in her election? God, family, country. If you hold to those things, which is what we've been looking at, the first four commandments, how do we relate to God? The rest, how do we structure society that relates to God? Through the family. That's how you make society. If that's what you hold to, the BBC thinks you're a right-wing terrorist. The BBC is not your friend. Look at it through the lens of the Bible. By all means, get your information from there, but just bear in mind, it's not your friend. The Guardian is basically the BBC in print. I love this. This is the folly of truth in the modern world. Men are less likely to wear masks. Another sign that toxic masculinity kills. Same person shaming people who refuse to wear a face mask isn't a good look. There is no truth in this. Nothing. And there's a bigger issue here. The bigger issue here. Why am I bringing this up? As Christians, we have an obligation to discover truth and live in truth. As Christians, the world doesn't. The world doesn't see that. And that's a big thing with science. We think science is self-prophesying truth. Where's the obligation for scientists to speak truth? There is none. This is a big issue. Huge misunderstanding. This is what the editor of Lancet, a respected medical journal, says. The case against science is straightforward. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be untrue, afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, invalid exploratory analyses, and flagrant conflicts of interest. That's the big one. Together with an obsession for pursuing fashionable trends of dubious importance. Science has taken a turn towards darkness. It's absolutely true. Science used to be simply this. What can be measured is science. Anything else is speculation. The complete opposite is true now. Speculation is science. If you can measure it, it doesn't matter. And this is where we're heading. This is a great book written by Thomas Kuhn. A proposition is scientific if it is sanctioned by the scientific community. If it's okay, if there's consensus, it's okay. If there's evidence, doesn't matter. We must remember, what does science say? What does science say? What's the answer to that? What does science say? The answer? Nothing. Science says nothing. Scientists are the ones who speak. When people say, what does the science say? It says nothing. It's the scientists who say things. And this is a big issue, particularly now, because what's happening now is there's this big push to censor scientific findings if it causes harm to a particular group of people. There's a fine balance between academic freedom and the protection of the dignity of a right of an individual or human group. What? And then you look into it, what the editor is saying here is that they reserve the right to doctor research if there's a danger it might cause offence to a particular group. There's nothing scientific about that. The monkeypox outbreak was a clear example of that. Clear example. There is no obligation in the scientific world for truth. None at all. This is a great scandal that came out in the summer. All 16 years worth of Alzheimer's research. They found out that these images were doctored. Doctored. Because no one would have questioned that at the start, because they think for some reason there's an obligation in science for truth. University of Washington, they put out a study on puberty blockers, was completely falsified, but because they had such a good response from the media, they refused to pull it. Why let truth get in the way? As Christians, we have an obligation to discover truth. Let me go through another worked example. Let me go through a worked example of how this would look like. How are we going to use the Bible to discover truth in a world that wants to conflict with it? Big one, climate change. Let's quickly whiz through some of this. Climate change. In New York, there's a climate clock counting down the end of the world. 7 years to the end of the world. But what we'll see is that none of this is new. The Mayans thought the world was going to end. There's a following called Millerism. They thought the world was going to end in 1844. Hong Min Chen said it was going to end in 1989, after that year. Harold Camping, this is a big one. Do you remember him? He said the world was going to end in 1994. It didn't. Then he jumped onto the 2011 bandwagon. It didn't happen in May 21st, so he said it was going to happen October 21st. Of course, it didn't. She said it was going to happen in 1814, the year after that. Halley's Comet, when that came in 1910, they thought the world was going to end. This is not new. Okay, ocean currents. None of this takes much digging around. Ocean currents. Let's see what happened with ocean currents in the world. They're getting weaker and weaker. Nope. Stronger and stronger. Nope. Weaker and weaker. Nope. Stronger and stronger. Bushfires. Okay, we all know bushfires are out of control. Out of control bushfires. What does NASA say? They've declined by 24% each year. Oh dear. Okay, flooding. Flooding is out of control. What are we going to do about flooding? So now we're getting into the UN's IPCC report. This is the United Nations International Panel on Climate Change. This is the authority on it. Low confidence. So they have this scaling system. Low confidence, medium confidence, high confidence if something's happening. Low confidence in the frequency or severity of floods changing. Droughts. These must be getting worse. UN IPCC reports precipitation has increased in the northern hemisphere. No change in the southern hemisphere. Well, storms must be getting worse. Storms must be getting worse. What does the IPCC say? Low confidence observed in any change in the frequency or intensity of tornadoes. and hurricanes. This is the IPCC report. And when you read the report, so America's had its quietest storm period in 40 years. Apparently that's a terrifying thing. Okay, ocean levels. They're all getting higher. We know that. Ocean levels must be getting higher. Well, here's Miami, 1995, 2022, no change. There's the Maldives. Maldives was a picture for climate change. No change. Pacific Islands are growing, not sinking. Some of the coast of Alaska, it's reducing. Glaciers, they must be melting, aren't they? Surely the glaciers are melting everywhere. No, 2012, 2022, they're growing, as is that one. Polar bears and the poles, this is the big one. They must be disappearing, aren't they? Well, no, sea ice actually remains the same. This is official polar data. Here you can see the extent of sea ice. It's exactly the same as it was 15 years ago, in fact, more. What happens every year is it goes up and down as it melts in the summer. So every summer, you hear the scare stories, oh, sea ice is melting. It's exactly the same. South Pole had its coldest ever period last year. And the polar bears are increasing. Coral reef, this was another poster for climate change. No, that's at its healthiest it's ever been. This is serious. This is serious stuff because people are making policies that affect people's lives on lies. This is deaths through natural disasters since 1900. Down. One little peak in 2000. Anyone know what that is in the 2000s? The tsunami. Boxing Day tsunami. The world is not going to end. Now, this is a big issue. Because it's cold that affects people's lives, not heat. More people, 60 times as many people die in cold than heat. But we're told that the temperatures are rising. Well, actually, these are all the models that they've used for sea surface temperatures. The actual point is there. One model out of 68 simulations is vaguely accurate. And this is NOAA, the official agency that monitors temperatures in America. They've got the most substantial network of stations. The trend is actually downwards. Yes, some places are getting warmer, but it's simple explanations. That's Heathrow in the 60s. That's Heathrow now. It's a different place. You can't say it's the same temperature. You're measuring a different place. But the key to watch, so this is the important thing, if we want to understand how to spot lies from truth, is to look at the messaging. Look at the messaging. This is the Spanish weather report from over 10 years ago. Look at the temperature here, 44. Look at it now, 38. Normal colours, now it's red hot, pink hot. And this Germany one's the best. This is where you need to watch the messaging. Germany, 2009, 36 degrees. Oh, now 34 degrees is red hot. Wait for this. Now it's just Dante's fire. That's 32 degrees. The messaging, this is falsehood. Absolute falsehood. And by way of example, have a look at the messaging here. This is the weather report. This is how they exaggerate what's happening. There's no sound on this one. Look at him battling this hurricane. But those two guys seem absolutely fine. Look at them rocking away. They've got no problem. They've got shorts on. Look at this guy. Oh, this must be a really bad flood. This must be really deep. No. He's just found a hole. This is falsehood. This is... The world live on falsehood because they don't have an obligation to discover truth. They're not interested in truth. They'll just take everything as fact. Snowfalls, a thing of the past. Nope, climate change is going to increase snowfall. Did you see that? So whether it doesn't snow or it does snow, it's because of climate change. These are serious things. And what happens, and this is what's really important here, is, and this is BBC policy and social media policy, they will not entertain any discussion that goes against the narrative. How can you have truth in a world where there's no open discussion or dialogue? You cannot have truth. And this is where it's going. This is why it's so serious. You could swap that for anything. In 20 years' time, this will be, no one can deny gender ideology. This is why truth is so important. Here's all the climate conferences, and there's CO2. Made no difference. What does the Bible say? This is where we start. This is why, as people of the light, we need to shine that light into a dark world. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, God said to Noah after the flood, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Never cease. Should you not fear me, declares the Lord. Should you not tremble in my presence? I made the sand a boundary for the sea, an everlasting barrier it cannot cross. The waves may roll, but they cannot prevail. They may roar, but they cannot cross it. The Bible speaks into this. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. This is so important. The day of the Lord, end of time, will come like a thief. There's no countdown clock. There's nothing that we can read in society or culture to say Jesus is coming next week. He's going to come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. So there's our biblical truth. And what we need to do now is feed that back into what the world thinks. It's not all falsehood. There's going to be truth into that. But this matters because it's affecting people's lives. Sri Lanka has utterly collapsed because of this. People are starving without fuel because of this. That's why our prices are going to be so high this summer. And what happens is that you introduce authoritarian regimes. California told not to charge their cars. And even worse than that, so in America, they have these systems where they have this interlinked heating system. It's basically run online. And what's happened is that the government are now controlling that, controlling when you can heat your home. This is serious. Here's all the limitations that Germany have got. And at the heart of this is not a love for the environment, but a hatred for humanity. A hatred for humanity. Everywhere. You can now use humans for compost in California. This is a hatred for humanity. We've seen this. What's the way to cure the problem? Is to get rid of people. The world was made for man. Man wasn't made for the world. And why does this matter? Because there's your false testimony. There's your false testimony. That's aimed at your generation. You're the ones who are killing the younger ones because you decided to heat your homes and drive your cars. There's your false testimony. As Christians, we cannot be caught up in that. 12 years to end. And what does that look like? Well, what's happened is that, remember this? God's design for society is flipped upside down. This is why it's serious. Because you now have the younger generation telling the older ones how it works. That's not how God designed it. All from false testimony. A 16-year-old girl telling the UN delegates how to run the world. What on earth has happened? That is not God's design for society. And what's the outworking of that? Well, people then feel justified to slash people's tires and attack sporting events. This is not new. And the Bible shows us that this has happened before. 1 Kings 18. Okay, might need a bit of volume for this. So this is Elijah with the prophets of Baal.
Look, is that Elijah? How is
this possible? He is alive.
If the Lord is God, worship him. But if Baal is God, worship him. I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left. But Baal has 450 prophets.
450 versus one? Elijah doesn't stand a chance.
Bring us two bulls. Baal's prophets can take one of them. Then they can put the meat on the wood without lighting a fire. I will do the same thing with the other bull, and I won't light a fire under it either. And you call on the name of your gods. I will pray to the Lord.
The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God.
Okay, so that's second thing. So remember, we've got a bit of consensus there. There's 420 prophets v. just Elijah. So now the prophets start their rituals. Okay, so nothing happens. So their rituals will get more and more extreme. They'll go to greater lengths. Of course, the true God makes himself known. And why is this important? What's at the heart of this story? Remember what the whole purpose of this all was who is it that actually controls the weather? Is there a true God? Or is Baal? If we do enough rituals to Baal, will he bring the rain? No. God is always the one who controls his creation. And at the end of it, the rains come. This is not a new thing. We love to think that we can take over from God and control things, but we can't. And people will do funny things with falsehood. And cults develop. We'd read these stories in the Bible and think, well, that's just then. You wouldn't say anything like that now. It does happen now. It just looks different. This is what it looks like. Listen carefully to this. This is never is a true word said more in jest than this. Listen carefully.
Is Al Gore a prophet?
Is Al Gore a prophet?
I just thought prophet.
You see that? How do you spell prophet? That says everything. These are cults. We've got to look through the falsehood. But it's not all falsehood. Sure, weather systems change. And we can have an impact on the earth. But we've got to look at it from the point of view of the Bible. That's the ultimate frame of reference for truth. Come back to the Bible. Always ends with the Bible. So what do we know? We know, yes, we are called to care for the world. We're called to care for the world, but we also know that God has said, I will end it when I'm ready. So there's your bookends. So what's that mean in between that? What it means in between that is that, well, times of famine and change have always been there. There's 119 verses in the Bible that mention famine. About 25% of those are spiritual famines, the rest about famine. This is big, severe weather events. Jesus said, watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming, I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprising, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation. Yes, we see that almost on an annual basis. Kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. So we shouldn't be upset or worried or fearful when things happen like the hurricane in Florida at the moment. There's nothing new. God said this will happen. The truth starts and ends with the Bible. And that's why we should always be wary of what the world embraces. Always be wary of what the world embraces. What bandwagon is it jumping on? Someone said to me at the Tuesday coffee meeting, someone who should have known better, said, I fundamentally think people are inherently good. And that's such a sad thing to say. We're not. We're fundamentally bad. If it wasn't for Jesus, we are still in that camp. So now we have the obligation to live in truth. Why? Because this is about loving our neighbours. You cannot love your neighbour through lies or through ignorance. It leads to false testimony. How can you live in truth without establishing it first? To live in truth means to keep your head above water, to go against the tide, to trust in what God is saying despite the available evidence before you. And two reasons. One, for your sake. Remember, we're called to be children of light, to live in the light. Therefore, we need to remain in the light. To live in the light means to remain in the light, in truth, trusting in God. Because we want to be productive Christians for him. We want to spread that light in the world for their sake and for his sake. We don't want to give false testimony. And to do that, we look at the example when David was choosing men to be with him. David is God's chosen king to lead God's society. David needed people, the men of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. Understood what was happening. Could they look through falsehood to truth? That's where we want to be as Christians. Keep coming back to the Bible. Verify what you read with the Bible. We've got to believe that this is the ultimate source of truth. It doesn't mean there is no truth elsewhere, but you only confirm its truth with the Bible. Nothing else will declare that. Nothing else is as dependable as that. Even a half-truth is still what? Half a lie. That's not what God's called us to be. He doesn't say, I want you to be shrouded lights in the world. He wants us to beam truth and goodness. So for your own sake, it's important. For your own walk with Christ, to find truth. And secondly, this is the big thing. This is the main point. It's for others' sake. So others can come to an understanding of truth. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's why we need to live in truth. That's why God chose a people to let his light shine into a dark world, truth into a world of falsehood. Because ultimately, what you're leading people to is the person of Jesus. He is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We cannot lead people to truth through falsehoods. Why let people run down dead-end lanes? Why let people live in fear? Why let people view God as someone who's lost control of the earth? If you're crying out for a savior and you think God can't even control his earth, why would you think he can control your eternal destiny? This is why these things matter. It's why we've got to live as people who are not afraid of what's happening around us, who are willing to stand up for truth even when it hurts, when everything comes against us. So other people may glorify God. Can't walk with the person of truth at the same time swallow lies or live in lies. And we don't have to give false testimony. We are people of the light, and that is a glorious thing to know. A glorious thing. God has opened our eyes. The world thinks this is folly. But God has opened our eyes. We would think this was folly if our eyes hadn't been opened. We are in a privileged position. We don't need to live in that fear. And as God's people, we're tasked with opening the eyes of others so they can live in that truth. It doesn't mean that we would go out into the world of science or we all have to be journalists or investigators. It just means that whatever information we take in, marry it up with what the Bible says. And you're so better equipped to go out into the world to spread that light and that truth. We have a glorious gift. And God has given us everything that we need to exercise that gift. So as Christians called to live in God's world, to create his society for his name's sake, we have an obligation to discover that truth, to live in it, and to share it. Not only for our walk with him, but so others can find the truth. The living word, Jesus, the living word became flesh. Let me pray. Lord, we do thank you for the Bible, Lord. And we do come to you and we ask for your forgiveness, Lord. So often we don't always come back to it as our framework for how to live, how to respond to you, Lord. We often think that we can find answers elsewhere, or we don't even need to go to your Bible. We can just remember things, Lord. But Lord, we're reminded that we are completely dependent on your grace and mercy to open our eyes. Without Jesus and your Spirit living in us, Lord, that we would think that book is just folly as well. Written thousands of years ago by men, it's outdated and it's culturally irrelevant. That is how we would think, Lord. But Lord, we know that you have redeemed us and you've called us to live a life that glorifies you. And as you are truth, our lives should radiate truth as well. Lord, you call that truth light because the world that lives in darkness, it doesn't know you, it doesn't know truth. Lord, would that truth shine through us so we're confident to lead people to you? So that we are confident to not worry about what's happening in the world, knowing and trusting that you have everything under your control. Amen.